Fortunately for the Crusaders, that army was held up 3 weeks trying to take Edessa, which had been seized by Baldwin. In those 3 weeks, Bohemond negotiated the betrayal of Antioch from one of the lesser officials in the city who hated the garrison commander. And the agreement, the deal was, the Crusaders, on the afternoon of June 2nd, marched west as if they had given up. The Turkish garrison relaxed. They marched into the evening, then at midnight stopped, turned around, marched back to the city, and Bohemond, with 60 knights at what were known as the Tower of the Two Sisters, appeared. The traitor, a fellow named Firuz, who was actually an Armenian convert to Islam, had a ladder waiting for him. The knights ascended the tower, got up, overpowered the garrison there, took part of the wall. Other crusaders stumbled up, got one of the gates opened, and eventually broke their way into the city and captured it. The usual massacre had ensued, but on June the 3rd, the city was theirs. And it was good it was theirs, because less than 48 hours, that army from Mosul showed up. And now the Crusaders were besieged. And for the next several weeks, Bohemond strengthened the resolve of those Crusaders. There were visions. There was the finding of a holy lance of Antioch from Peter Bartholomew in a vision that they excavated. And on the 28th of June, in disciplined companies arranged by Bohemond, the army moved out, lined up, and engaged this superior Turkish army and won a stunning victory. By, again, a carefully planned cavalry charge after the usual exchange of archery and infantry support. It was a stunning, miraculous victory. Qarabog's army was pushed back to Mosul. His Arab allies defected. Antioch was theirs. But at this point, the crusade was close to breaking up. Bohemond insisted that since Alexis was no man to be seen, he was going to keep the city as his own. And hence, the second principality had been formed. Raymond, who was too ill to fight in the decisive battles in June, and the battle on, it was actually Ottomer who commanded his contingent in the final battle on the 28th of June, 1098. Raymond and Godfrey became the new natural leaders, and after a considerable amount of dispute, they took over those of the Crusaders ready to press on to Jerusalem, but the Normans of Bohemond stayed in Antioch. In the spring of 1099, equally audaciously, these crusaders, or half of the crusade, marched south, over 300 miles south, arrived in Jerusalem in the blazing sun of June 1099. They happened to link up with the Genoese fleet, and the Genoese gave them vital military support. At this point, Godfrey was the senior commander. Raymond was not able to assert his leadership. And on July 15th, 1099, the Crusaders stormed the city of Jerusalem, having constructed two great towers after nearly 36 hours of attacking and battering the walls. They broke into the city. The Muslim population was slaughtered. So was the Jewish community that had found refuge in the synagogue. But the holy city had been taken. The Crusaders had achieved what no imperial army had ever done for the last 350 years. They had entered the holy city. And while the massacre was seen by the Islamic world as a hideous disgrace and actually rekindled notions of jihad, for the Christians, it was the manifestation of God's will. Against all expectations, the Crusaders had won. Well, yet they had able leaders. Yet they had all sorts of skills and logistics. They had vital support from the various fleets. Nonetheless, it was a triumph of the will of the Crusaders who stormed into the city, as well as the inspired leadership of Bohemond, Godfrey, and even Raymond, which enabled them to take this city. The news spread back to Western Europe. Ironically, Pope Urban II, who had launched this crusade, died on July 29th, that is a fortnight after the city had fallen to the Franks. But the news had not yet reached Western Europe. When it did, and I have no way of proving this, but when it did, I suspect church bells rang across Western Europe. There was no need to report what had happened. For the first time, the Christians had won a significant victory over their so-called heathen Muslim foe. It was a stunning success, and it made crusading possible for the next 200 years, because always in front of the Western Europeans was the remarkable success of the First Crusade. through all of the suffering, through the images of martyrdom, through the images of Exodus, they had achieved the almost impossible against hopeless odds. And it was always assumed that yet one more crusade could do it. And while they would lose Jerusalem or the Muslims would close in on it, there was always the chance of retaking the city. And that would mean more crusades for the Islamic world and Byzantium.